Today is a wonderful day for the Christian. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Why is the resurrection important? Brother Carey already alluded to that, but would you please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ because it means that we will not die. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ because it means that we are forgiven and that we have eternal life. But my question to you this morning, brothers and sisters, is does the resurrection mean anything at all to your life today? We sang this beautiful song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, does the resurrection help you today? Are we waiting for the benefit of the resurrection when we die? Are we waiting for the resurrection? Are we waiting for the benefit of the resurrection when Jesus returns? Or is there a life-changing benefit to the resurrection right now? That's the question we want to answer this morning. Would you stand with me and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit in your life 30, 60, and 100-fold. Pray right now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts and remove Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Pray now for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully. Dear Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart would be from you, to you, and for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. If you're new to Trinity Baptist Church, you're going to want to keep your Bible open to Romans chapter 6, because we're going to be there the entire time today, and you're going to want to keep your Bible open and follow along right there. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? There are several errors that you can make as a Christian, as a student of God, as a student of the Word of God. One error is you can come over here and you can say, In order to truly be a good Christian, you have to earn it. You have to do good works. You have to be good. You have to do good works. You have to earn it somehow. You can't just sin. You've got to earn it. And that would be totally wrong. Because we know from the New Testament and from the Word of God that salvation is a totally free gift. It has nothing to do with works whatsoever. As Michaela beautifully sang, he looked past my faults and he saw my need. Salvation is a free gift offered to all who will come to God and humble themselves and say, I'm a sinner, I need your mercy, and his mercy is freely given. It is totally free. It is free when you get it. It is free to keep it. It is free, free, free. But the other side is over here. And again, if you're new to Trinity, sometimes I walk here and sometimes I walk here, and it has nothing to do with those people or these people. You come over here and you say, well, since it's free, I'm going to live my life however I want. If I don't have to be good, then I get to be bad. And I'm just going to go on sinning and sinning and sinning so that grace may increase. And we know that Paul was preaching salvation by grace apart from works because people were coming to him with that question over there. We know that Paul was teaching total grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, because people heard his preaching and said, wait a minute. If you're talking free, 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 then how come people just don't go on sinning? And Paul answers that question right now. Look at verse 2. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Paul says to go on sinning, to just take God's grace as a license to just sin all you want, is totally unthinkable. It is a wrong thought. It is not a godly thought. It is not a true thought. Why? Number one in your notes, you should have notes in your bulletin, by the way. Don't look for it up here because it's not going to be here. I tricked you. You've got to listen today. It's not going to be here. You have sermon notes. Number one in your notes, we died to sin. We died to sin. What does that mean? Verse 3 in our text. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Number two in your notes, real Christianity involves a death and a birth. To truly come to Jesus, I'll repeat it again. Number two in your notes, real Christianity involves a death and a birth. To truly come to Jesus is to be united with him in death. Death to sin. To embrace Christ means to be united with him in death. Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and when I, Dave Gordon, became united with Christ, from God's point of view, I died with Jesus. Look at verse 4 in our passage today from the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Trinity Baptist, being united with Christ means we're united in death with him, and we are united in resurrection with him. Now, here's some questions for you. How is the new Dave different from the old Dave? What I am saying and what God is saying is this: when Dave Gordon came to Christ, he died, joined with Christ in death, and then joined with Christ in resurrection. So Dave died, and then Dave is born again. How is this new Dave different from the old Dave? A multitude of ways, but we're only going to do three today. Number three in your notes, we have a new position. We have a new position. I've been united with Christ in death. God has united me with Christ, and from God's point of view, I died with Christ. And whatever is true from God's point of view is true. Christ died 2,000 years ago, and all of us in this room who are truly united with Christ died with him from God's point of view. The old Dave was a child of wrath. I was condemned. I was guilty. I was under the wrath of God. I was separated from God. I was alienated from God. I was God's enemy. Keep your finger in Romans 6 and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you're having trouble navigating through the Bible, just go from Romans to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Four books. Be sure and keep your finger in Romans 6 so you can flip back there. We'll be there for the remainder of the service. Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." The new Dave is a child of God. I am forgiven. I am reconciled to God. I have been adopted into his family. I have a completely new position in life from God's point of view. And whatever is true from God's point of view is true. My brothers and sisters, this is why baptism is so important. If you're a believer here today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have been united with Christ, you must be baptized. Why? Because your baptism is your funeral service for the old you. How am I different? How is the new Dave different from the old Dave? Number three, I have a new position. Number four in your notes, we have a new power and freedom. We have a new power and freedom. Flip back to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, Trinity Baptist Church, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. The old Dave was a slave of sin. I was not able to resist temptation. And apart from Christ, no one can resist the power of sin. I am not saying that those apart from Christ will give in to every single temptation. What I am saying is that a spiritually dead person, a person who is not united with Christ, is a slave to sin. They may win some battles, but if you are apart from Christ, you will lose the war. Apart from Christ, sin is your master. The new Dave has been set free from slavery to sin. Sin is no longer my master. I will still struggle with temptation until I am glorified. My transformation is incomplete, but in Christ, right now, today, sin is no longer my master because of the resurrection. I do not have to sin because of the resurrection. I am a new person. I have been set free from its power. Right now. Paul says that my old self was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be done away with. What does that mean? Number five in your notes. When we are united with Christ, our old nature is not destroyed, but it is deposed. When we are united with Christ, number five in your notes, our old nature is not destroyed, but it is deposed. It is overthrown. It can no longer exert controlling influence in my life. It cannot control my life. It is not my master. I have been set free. How is the new Dave different from the old Dave? Number three in your notes, we have a new position. Number four in your notes, we have a new power and freedom. Number six in your notes, we have a new heart. We have a new heart. The old Dave had a heart corrupted by sin. It was spiritually dead, but I have been born again. The new Dave has a new heart. It is a heart that is Christ's home. My heart is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in my heart, and He is recreating my heart. And He has a plan. He has a blueprint. The blueprint is the heart of Jesus Christ. I do not have the same corrupted heart that I once had. I have a new one that is being rebuilt and is being repaired by my Savior. Keep your finger in Romans 6 and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just two books over, brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me, and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who has sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. If you're united with Christ this morning, Christ lives in your heart. You're in 2 Corinthians now. One book over is Galatians. Follow me there, please. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If you are united with Christ this morning, Christ lives in your heart. One more book over is the beautiful book of Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How is the new Dave different from the old Dave? I have a new position, I have a new power, and I have a new heart. I am totally different from the inside out. Trinity, this is one of the greatest things about Christianity. My old self was a slave to sin. This is one reason why I love Jesus so much. Sometimes I think about what kind of person I would be right now if I had not been united with Christ. Some of you know me pretty well, but for those of you who don't, I was raised in the church. My parents took me to church from the time I was born. I can count on these two hands the amount of Sundays that I was not in church in my entire childhood. My parents read the Holy Scriptures to me at night or in the morning or both. I was raised in church, but when I grew up, at the age of 21, I begin to examine Christianity. I begin to ask myself, is this really what I want? My parents taught and modeled real Christianity to me. Not Sunday-only Christianity. My parents taught and modeled the fact that joining Jesus means accepting and submitting to him as Lord of your life. And you know, as a child, it didn't really affect me very much. I didn't have a lot of freedom. But as a young adult, at the age of 21, Jesus really started to cramp my style. I wanted to spend my money for me. I wanted to spend my time for me. I wanted to do what I wanted to do with my weekends. I wanted to be happy. And Christianity got in the way of that goal. So at the age of 21, I almost turned away. I continued to be a Christian on the outside, but inside I was in turmoil. I began to evaluate, did I truly believe in Jesus? And by God's grace, and only by his grace, not from anything I did, not from anything I was, but only by his preserving grace, at the age of 22, I rededicated my life to Christ. 20 years later, I'm 42 now. 20 years later, I look back on that time and I know the truth now, and I can tell you now that whether Christianity makes me happy or it doesn't, I need Christ. Amen. At the age of 21, my heart was corrupted by lust. And if I had not embraced Christ, if I had not embraced Christ, the lust in my heart would have destroyed my life. At the age of 21, my heart was corrupted by greed. And if I had not embraced Christ, the greed in my heart, unchanged by the power of the gospel, would have destroyed my life. I had a heart of anger and bitterness, and if I had not embraced Christ, the sin in my heart would have destroyed my life. At the age of 22, I remember it very clearly. I could probably take you to the spot where I rededicated my life. I stepped outside and I surrendered my life to the one person whose resurrection could not only save me from the penalty of sin when I died, but could save me from the power of sin to destroy my life. I dedicated my life to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. 20 years later, I often ask myself, what kind of man would I be right now if my old self had not been crucified? What kind of man would I be? I don't know. But I know that when I embrace Christ, the old Dave died, and I became an entirely new person. Christianity is joining him in death, and it is joining him in life. We are united with him in death, and we are united with him in life. We are born again. We are alive. You know, non-Christians are zombies. They're walking dead. They're dead. They're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. When we talk about trusting Christ as your Savior, we say that we invite him into our heart. We ask him into our heart, and that is exactly what happens. Look at verse 9 in your text, Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 9. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Growing up in the church, I heard this statement over and over and over again, not from the pulpit, but from people, that there's no difference between Christians and non-Christians. We're all sinners. What did you say the other day? We all will sin. Did I say that right? Forgive me. I heard this over and over and over again. There's no difference between Christians and non-Christians. It's just one is forgiven, the other isn't. We're all imperfect. We're all going to sin. And you know what? That's not true. You will struggle with sin. You will struggle with sin from this moment until eternity. But non-Christians, their sin nature has power over them. And for a Christian, that power is broken. You and I do not have to sin. We have everything we need from Christ to have victory over sin. And it's because of the resurrection. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been struggling with sin. You're a Christian and you've been struggling with sin. And you believe the lie that sin has power over you, and I'm here to say it does not. You are free. Consider yourselves dead to sin. Why should you consider yourself dead to sin? Because you are. Maybe you're here today and you have never truly embraced Jesus Christ. I say this as gently as I possibly can. You are a slave to sin. Your sin will hurt you. Your sin will destroy your life. Your sin will take you to hell. The elders will be up here for just a few moments after church. Jesus Christ offers you the free gift of salvation. As Brother Carey said, he paid the full price on the cross. There's nothing left for you to do. All you need to do is come up and receive salvation from sin. Salvation from the penalty when you die. Salvation from the power right now.